This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Dr. John Maxwell delivers the teaching entitled, Living a Life That Matters. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
In 2006, Reese Witherspoon received the Academy Award for Best Actress when she played June Carter Cash in the movie Walking the Line. It was a movie about Johnny Cash. I happened to be watching that evening, and as she held the this is not the Oscar right here, but as she held up the Oscar and looked at the crowd, she said that the people would come to June Carter Cash and they would say, what are you doing? And she would say to them always the same answer, I'm just trying to live a life that matters. And Reese Witherspoon closed that speech by saying, that's exactly what I want to do also. You see, if I could come off the stage and I could come out throughout the congregation and I could talk to you, if we could have a one-on-one conversation, we wouldn't go far in that conversation until you would begin to talk about how that you would like for your life to really count, really matter. I think all of you know that life is not a dress rehearsal. We don't get another shot at it. This is not like if I miss this one, well, you know what, hopefully I can come back and I'll get another one. Unless your name's Shirley MacLaine, it just ain't going to happen, okay? And so every one of you would say to me, in a very honest, intimate way, that you really would like for your life to matter, that you would really like for it to count. I know that's what I want. I know that's what you want. So I give a lot of thought about helping people live that kind of life. In fact, I wrote a book, Intentional Living, because I believe that it can only be lived if we live intentionally. And I would like to talk to you just from my heart to yours about what does it mean to have a life that really matters. And let me just start off by saying that if every day, I'm going to ask you in our conversation, I'm going to ask you probably, I don't know, three or four questions. They're all going to be simple. Remember, I always ask simple questions because I'm a very simple person, okay? I'm not smart enough to ask complex questions. So they're all going to be simple, and I want to really help you. When I ask the question, the answer is always yes. How are we doing, okay? We are all on the same page. We feel comfortable with the test that you'll be given throughout the lesson. And I'm getting ready to ask the first question. And the first question is this. If every day you could add value to other people's lives, and at the same time that you're adding value to other people's lives, Jesus is recognizing it. And he's saying to you, while you're adding value to other people, Jesus is saying to you, thank you. You've just added value to me. Would you say that if you lived that kind of a day, that it would be a significant day, that you truly were living a life that matters? Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. You really did good too. I mean, you were ready for that answer, weren't you? You see, I know that to be a fact, that if you and I every day added value to people and at the same time realized that Jesus was absolutely involved in that. I mean, he was doing more than observing it. He was doing more than just acknowledging it, that he was saying, hey, I just want you to know that you directly connected with me. Then I think that we begin to understand that we're living a life that matters. And I'm going to say to you that in the Christian community, this is a message we really need to hear, because I have become convinced that we live beneath our privileges as Christians, and I have become convinced that our lives are not mattering to the extent and counting to the extent that they could because of two reasons. And this lesson is all about these two thoughts that I want to give you. And the first one I'm going to give you right now, and then I'm going to read scripture. I think that for our life to really matter and count, I think that we're going to have to see the big picture. And I don't think we see the big picture. I think we see a picture, and I think that it's a good one. But I don't think we see the big picture. But Jesus really helps us see the big picture when he talks to us in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to read verses 31 through 40. And we're going to just kind of really begin to see the big picture, because the big picture involves three or four things. And the first thing that the big picture that we've got to see as Christ followers is the fact that Jesus values people. Okay? So the picture is going to become a little bit clearer with each thought. It's going to become a little bit bigger with each thought. But the key thought in the big picture is that Jesus values people. So let's start with verse 31. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty, and all of his angels with him, the Son of Man will be arranged before, and he will sort out the people, much as the shepherd sorts out sheep and goats, putting sheep on his right and goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter, you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming into you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation. And here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering. You gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we ever see you sick or in prison or come to you?" And the king will say, "I'm telling you solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." You see, Jesus values people so much that when we add value to people, he takes it personally. I don't want you to miss that. Jesus values people so much that when we add value to people, he takes it personally. You see, Christmas is all about Jesus becoming flesh, God becoming flesh, initiating a relationship, crossing the gap between sinful man and a holy God, taking upon himself the robe of humanity, being born as a baby, crying like a baby when they're hungry. Jesus wants to help us understand that he takes this relationship really in a personal sense. He literally has put himself in our shoes. One of the ways that he would help us to see him is he talked often in the Gospels about being a shepherd. In fact, a good shepherd. Now, if you know anything about a shepherd, the shepherd stays with the sheep, hangs with the sheep, watches over the sheep, protects the sheep, kind of make sure the sheep get to the right place, puts them in the pen at night, make sure that they're safe. But there's one thing about a shepherd that you know, if you know anything about shepherds and sheep, and that is that if you've been with a sheep all day long, you smell like the sheep. Jesus smells. Jesus smells just like us. Because he became one of us. And because he thinks so highly of us, and because he values us to the degree that he would literally leave heaven to come to be with us, this whole thing of making our life count and making it matter and doing something intentional and being significant takes on a whole new meaning when we begin to see the picture. And when you see people in the picture, You have to see Jesus. Let me tell you this. If you don't see Jesus in the picture when you see people, you don't have the right picture. And I know. When we think of that, we think, well, yeah, I got it. I think I've got it. I see people, and I sometimes see Jesus. No, we need to see Jesus all the time. In other words, even some of the people that you just think you couldn't see Jesus in. Those people, you know what I'm talking about? If you don't see Jesus when you see a person, you don't see the clear big picture. Now, the big picture begins by us valuing people like Jesus values people. But it's more than that. The second thing I want you to see in this picture is that everyone has the opportunity to add value to people. I love this. There's none of us that lack the opportunity or the privilege or the time to add value to people. And in this story, we've just read about people who visited people in prison and clothed people that were naked and fed people that were hungry. Okay, but there were other people who had the opportunity, but they didn't take advantage of it. And that begins in verse 42. He looks at these people and he says, now, I want you to understand, I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty. You gave me no drink. I was homeless. You gave me no bed. I was shivering. You gave me no clothes, sick and in prison. And you never visited me. And these people, they're going to say, Master, what are you talking about? Now, notice this common theme in the story. When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help? You see, the assumption was if we would have seen you hungry, thirsty, in prison, we would have helped. But when did we see you that we didn't help? What do you mean? We don't understand this. They didn't understand it because they didn't see the big picture. He's going to answer them. I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you fail to do one of these things to someone who is being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed to do it to me. Wow. Now, I don't know what that does to you, but I get very stirred by this passage of Scripture. Because what that means is when I miss that opportunity, it wasn't that I just missed the opportunity. I missed the opportunity to minister to Jesus, to feed him, to touch him. Now, this takes the people that I'm around and the people that I come into contact every day, and it just helps me to see them in an entirely light. Again, if I see a person and I don't see Jesus, I don't have the big picture. And I have the opportunity. I have the opportunity every day to see Jesus. I have the opportunity every day to minister to Jesus. I love people who say, you know, I'm a Christian, but boy, it seems like God's far away. Hey, all you got to do is start ministering to people. He gets real close. Hey, you don't need to get mystical about this and try to get into some kind of long prayer thing about it. No, no. Just go love people. Just go visit people. Just care for people. He said every time you do it, you do it to me. 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 The other day I was, I took my children and my grandchildren right after Thanksgiving. We live in Florida. We go down to Fort Lauderdale. And there's a church that does this incredible Christmas pageant. And my kids love it because when they grew up in Skyline, we had a living Christmas tree, and it reminds them of that. And so we take our children, we take our grandchildren. So we went Friday, and we went to a restaurant down there real close to where the pageant was going to be, a little pizza place. And the guy that was waiting on us, he was about 19 years of age and really really on the ball, just taking care of us, great attitude, hustling. I mean, he was really hustling. And so during the evening, as he kept coming back and forth, we were there for maybe an hour and 20 minutes. I got to talking to him, connected with him. He's a 19-year-old kid. He's starting his business, and he's working there on the side to kind of keep his business alive because he's got a little dream, and he's just pumping a little bit of money into it. And as typical entrepreneur, you know, it's just starting, and it's not going real well. And I told him it's okay that, you know, nothing goes well in the beginning. It's all right. And so I'm having a nice conversation with him. And by the end, I kind of just feel impressed to kind of maybe bless him a little bit financially. So I slipped him just a little money. And he came back real quick, and he realized, he said, "My gosh," he said, "you know, wow, that was a great tip." I said, "No, I put your tip there. This is more than a tip." So the kids, we talked a little bit. They went out to the car. I went to the restroom real quick. I was coming down the hallway, and I heard somebody behind me calling on me. I turned around, and he came and he said, I don't know what to do. He said, "You don't know what this means to me." And he just gave me a hug. Just gave me a hug. And I said, "Well, good, good. I'm glad it meant something to you." And I turned away and walked from him. And I took about 3 steps. And all of a sudden I realized, Jesus just hugged me. I was hugged by Jesus in a piece of place. When you see the picture, as Jesus wants you to see the picture, every time you are touching someone and ministering to someone and caring and adding value to someone, you are touching him. Which brings me to the third part of the big picture. The big picture, to see it right, you got to value people like Jesus does. You got to realize you're going to have the opportunity to do this. The third part of the big picture, and I'm just hitting it and then going to the fourth one, is that no one saw the big picture of adding value to others. No one saw it. And what's amazing to me, we could understand if the ones who didn't visit and the ones who didn't feed and the ones that didn't clothe, we'd say, well, they sure missed the big picture. They missed the picture. Can I tell you something? The people who clothed, visited, cared for, they never saw Jesus either. And this reminds me of the church. That we go about our work and we go about our duties, and we do it because it's the right thing to do, and we do it because we want to do things for God, and we've got a list of why we do things, and I think that we're missing it. I think we're just missing it. I think that the only motivation I need in this world, the only motivation I need is the fact that every person's got Jesus right there. And the moment that I understand that, I don't need Pastor Kevin to motivate me to go out and serve people and minister to people and get involved in a ministry. I don't need my the pastors on staff or my small group leader. I all of a sudden I just understand, wait a minute, I get to do this every day. And I am the church and I am the body of Christ. And this is something that I can do. Which brings me to the last little point on seeing the big picture, and then I gotta go to the second thing, and that is seeing the big picture. And when I say seeing the big picture, seeing Jesus in these people's lives. Here's what I love. It makes insignificant acts significant. It just upgrades everything we do. There is no insignificant act when we are adding value to people once we understand that we just ministered to Jesus. There is no insignificant act. There is no small thing. You don't do small things. And see, by the end of the day, you'll have a life that matters because you'll realize you have done several significant things. We have, in the Christian world, dumbed down some of these things of good works. And we've not positioned them for people to understand that we are doing this unto Jesus. So I got a couple questions to ask you. And remember, they're all simple. And also remember, what's the answer?
Yes.
Thank you. I love that you passed the test before the test. So I've got 2 questions to ask you. Do you think those people that did add value to others, did go to the prisons and visit people, they did feed the hungry, and they did all these good things. Do you think all those people that did good things to other people, if they would have seen the big picture, and we've seen Jesus in every person. Just let me ask you a question. Do you think that they would have probably done more good things? Yes or no?
Yes.
I do too. And let me ask you another question. Those who didn't do the good things, those who kind of walked by and didn't pay attention and kind of lived in their own world, if they would have seen the picture like Jesus sees it, if they would have seen this picture, let me just ask you a question. Do you think that their attitude and their action toward other people, do you think that they would have probably got involved and started helping a few more people if they could have seen the big picture as Jesus did? Yes or no?
Yes.
Of course. The point is very simple. Once we see the big picture, the only motivation I need to serve people, to add value to people is that I see Jesus in them, and I'm doing that unto Jesus. I would just stop long enough before I give you the second point to make your life matter and just simply say that when I do this adding value to people, which I do every day intentionally, when I have the opportunity, and the opportunity is not always there, the opportunity is not there because maybe other people are around them and they won't understand, maybe I'm in a very much of a hurry and I'm doing it literally on the run, but when I have an opportunity and somebody thanks me, I look at them and I say, well, thank you for thanking me, but you don't need to thank me. And they'll say, well, you know, who do I thank? I said, thank Jesus, because I'm a Christ follower. And Jesus told me he's in you. And that if I do this for you, I do this for him too. I could give you dozens and dozens of times that just opened the door to share my faith. Because let me say this, that person that is overlooked and ignored in this story, they don't see Jesus in them either. Do you see how you lift the value of a person when you see the big picture? Now, number two, for my life to matter and count, I not only need to see the big picture, but I need to be intentional. And the reason that I need to be intentional is because the moment that I am intentional, I increase my acts of good works. Intentionally, I can get better. Unintentionally, the old gravity pull happens to me and I do less. So let me make a picture statement to you, and then let me share with you what intentional living is in three words. The picture statement first. You will never forget this after I give it to you. It can literally be an anchor that you just kind of hold on to as you begin to live an intentional life. Here's the picture statement. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Everything. There is nothing worthwhile in your life that is downhill. Nothing. Everything that is downhill in your life will subtract and devalue you. If you're going to have a good relationship with your spouse or with someone else, it's all uphill, friend. Got to work at it every day, don't you? Got to work at it every day. Nothing's automatic. Nothing's easy. Nothing's by chance. Nothing just happens. It's all uphill. And let me tell you something. If everything in life that is worthwhile is uphill, the only way you go uphill is by being intentional. No one ever went uphill unintentionally. No one. No one just one day woke up and said, oh my gosh, how did I get up here? Whoa. This is amazing. I just woke up and here I am on the top of the mountain. Whoa! What happened? No. Everything in worth life is uphill. And if it's uphill, you and I have to be intentional. And the three words that describe intentional living are deliberate, consistent, and willful. Deliberate means I think about my life and I reflect on it. Consistent means that I am intentional on a daily basis, every day, not just once in a while. And willful means I made a choice to be intentional. You see, most people, they don't leave their life, they accept their life. I was with Tony George for several years. He owned the Indianapolis 500, and he'd have me come up, and I would talk to the drivers, I'd talk to the owners. We'd go up to his suite before the race, and we'd have a lunch, and we'd watch the race. One day, I was sitting with him at the table in his suite after I'd talked to the drivers and the owners, and he said, John, is there a difference between success and significance? I said, I think there is. I think success is mainly about me. And I think significance is mainly about others. And there's nothing wrong with success, by the way. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a good career and want to make some good money and take care of your family. I mean, that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think that's where we all start. We want to kind of make it and be successful, and there's nothing wrong at all with that. But I said, when we become significant, all of a sudden it's a lot less about me, and it's a lot more about others and focusing on others. And the moment that I began to realize that it's all about others, it's about focusing on others, I realized that I have a challenge. And here's the challenge. Remember, everything worthwhile is uphill. I am not naturally inclined to think of others first. I'm not. Don't look at me that way. You're not either. We are born selfish. Okay? It's okay. We're born with a me world. And I know you're saying, oh, well, I think you're missing me. I think I'm just a pretty amazing person. I've kicked that selfish problem. I'm amazing. Well, if you're thinking that, you're not only selfish, you're quite delusional. And if you don't think you're selfish, let me ask you a simple question. The next time you're in a group picture, who's the first person you look for when you look at the picture? You go in right on yourself. And let me tell you how you describe a good group picture. You got that one, don't you? A good group picture means, oh, I look good. Hey, in fact, you say, oh my gosh, send that to me. Send that. That's a great picture. That's a great picture. And if you look at yourself and you didn't look good in the picture, uh-oh, take another one. Take another one. Come on. Let's get around here. Come on. Another shot. That's a terrible picture. 18 people look great. You look bad. And you call it a bad group picture. It's okay. That's just who we are. It's all right. So what I want to do is, to help you be intentional, I want to give you five what I call everyday essentials to be intentional. And what's beautiful about these five things I'm going to give you is they're all simple. And what's even more beautiful is every one of you can do them. That this is not something beyond your reach. This is not something that you could maybe hope for someday. This is something that you can do right now. Because what I want you to understand is a life that matters is not a life that is put on hold for a better day someday. A life that matters is a life that matters right now. And a life of significance is a life of significance right now. And the problem with significance is we've made the word bigger than it should be. And so we say, well, you know, someday when I get a little bit more money and I'm able to give a lot of money, I'll be significant. And when I get some influence and influence a lot of people, I can be significant. Or maybe when I get a title or a position, I can be significant. Or I get a little older, a little wiser, I can be significant. Listen to me. You can be significant right now. You don't need to wait 1 hour to start having a life that matters. And all you got to do is these five things. And every one of you can do these five things every day. So look at the person you're sitting beside and say to them, even you can do these five things. Here we go. Number one, every day, I value people. That's foundation to having a life that matters. That's foundation to significance. Every day, I value people. So, I got another question to ask you. And this one is, you just watch me and raise your hand when I raise mine. Okay, I'm trying to keep it simple. How many of you want to be like Jesus? 100%. Okay. And what's beautiful is we didn't really do Simon Says. You really do want to be like Jesus. And when people come and say, John, I just want to be like Jesus. Or I tell you what, I just want to get close to Jesus. I got that one figured out. All you've got to do is value people. If you want to be Jesus-like, The most Jesus-like you'll ever be is when you value people. That's Jesus-like. Because when you go to the Gospels, the thing that keeps popping up, you just can't miss it. It's on every page. Every page, you see Jesus loving people that were not lovely, talking to people that others didn't talk to, touching people that other people didn't touch, taking time with people other people didn't take time with. I mean, if you want to be Jesus-like, I can promise you, you're Jesus-like when you value people. And I know you're saying, oh, good, I think I'm Jesus-like. My name's John, I'm your friend. Let's just talk for a moment. Jesus valued. Jesus valued everybody. Oh. Now that's a problem. Because we value a lot of people. But don't most of us have one person? Come on. And I don't need to talk to you anymore about that because you already got them right there. You see their face right in your mind. You see, we want to do this on valuing people. We want to have a but clause. We want to, I value people, but there's a couple. There's just a couple, not a lot. I really do value people, but there's a couple. That's why Jesus said, that's why he spelled it out for you. He said, when you value the overlooked and ignored. He wanted to make sure that you understood that you valued everyone. And to be honest with you, the only people that were really messed up by Jesus valuing everyone were religious people. They're the only ones that just couldn't quite handle the people that Jesus valued. And I would say this to you, my friend. In the church, we've got a decision to make. Are we going to keep correcting people, or are we going to start connecting with people? We'd better figure out what we're going to do. Connecting people is so essential. In fact, when I got ready to do this lesson, I prepared the lesson ahead of time, and then I kind of let it marinate. And just when I was letting it marinate, after I'd already written it, I all of a sudden realized that I have in my world really learned to find common ground with everybody. And Jesus did this. And what I want to do is, I'm going to quickly, I'm so excited. It's right down here in my notes. I just wrote it in an ink pen right here. And I want to give this to you. I want you to write this down real quick because I don't have any time. But these are just connect common ground comments. I got five of them. And I just want this to be something you really begin to apply to your life. And here they are. Number one, everyone needs a friend. So I've decided to be their friend. So when I approach anyone, I approach it on the fact that I've already made a decision to be their friend. Number two, everyone has good in them. So I've decided to discover the good. In other words, I'm going after the good in your life. Every one of you in this auditorium, you all have good in your life. We all have some good in us. And that makes us kind of feel good, doesn't it? And I also want you to know we all have some bad in us. But I've decided not to go after the bad. I've decided to look for the good. I want to connect on common ground. And number three, everyone wants to feel valued. So I've decided to give value. Now, number four, I wish I really had some time to teach this, but I'm just throwing out it because you're a smart crowd, okay? I mean, you're 12 stoners, okay? You understand that? I mean, hello, if I was at the church down the street, this is a 3-week seminar, okay? All right, here we go. Okay, you got it. But number four, it's got a real curve, and I love the curve here, but it's very true. Here's number four. Everyone can help me, so I've decided to receive it. When we think of adding value to people, we think of helping people. But let me tell you something. Every one of you in this auditorium, you could help me. In other words, if I had 5 minutes with you, you could teach me something that I need to know. You could share something with me that would add value to me. In other words, you're a person of value and you have value for me. There's something that's very humbling about this, because once I understand that, common ground is easily reached when I believe that I'm not the only one helping the person, but they have something to give to me. Are you with me? There's something beautiful about this, about that. I wish I had time to teach it. And number five, the last one is, everyone wants to better their life, and so I'm going to help them. That's why I'm teaching the lesson, how to make your life count. It's a lesson on how to have a better life, how to have a life that matters. So the first thing I do is just trying to be Jesus-like. Every day I value people. Are you with me? Number two, every day I think of ways to add value to people. Every day I think of ways, how can I add value to people? See, if I'm going to be intentional, I've got to think intentional. Intentional thinking precedes intentional living. So every day when I begin my day, I ask myself, who can I add value to? I look at my calendar. Where am I going to be? What am I going to do? Who am I going to be with? How can I add value? I think ahead of how I'm going to add value to people. Now, this is what I'm so passionate about. Is this intentional living that I'm talking about now that helps you make your life matter? You could start teaching this to your kids. You can start teaching this to your grandchildren. I'm right now having the time of my life teaching intentional living to my grandchildren. We've got five, and the other day I was with three of them. I was with Joel and Liz's children. We were having dinner, and so I'm doing the thing that they see Papa doing all the time. Now they call me Papa. They realize when Papa comes, I'm going to talk to them about how we're going to be intentional in adding value to people. All the grandkids know every time I'm with them, we're going to talk about how am I going to intentionally add value to people. I mean, think about teaching kids this lesson and what it will do as they grow up. And I looked at and I said, John, tomorrow, what are you going to do to intentionally add value to people? He said, well, Papa, he said, I have a golf lesson tomorrow morning. And my golf teacher always puts a cup of cold water in my golf cart before we go out to the driving range. I'm going to go a little bit early tomorrow, and I'm going to get a cup of cold water, and I'm going to put it in his golf cart. And he did. And he took two pictures and sent them to me to show me that he was intentional. Little James, who's 9, I said, James, what are you going to do? He said, Papa, tomorrow I'm going to open doors for people. I'm just going to, if anybody's around the door, I'm going to open to it. And he said, I'm not going to open the door. He said, I'm going to smile and tell them to have a good day. By the end of the day, he texted me and let me know. He said, Papa, I opened up 42 doors today for people. Are we getting this lesson? A child can be taught to be intentional. Every day I value people. Every day I think of ways to add value to people. Every day I look for ways to add value to people. Now this one excites me, because we can train ourselves to see the right thing. Listen to me carefully. We do not see things as they are. We see things as we are. So when I look at you, I don't see you as you are. I see you through my lens, how I am. So if I'm a loving person, I will naturally look at you and assume that you're a loving person. If I'm a jealous person, I'll look at you and I'll assume that you have a problem of jealousy. Are you with me? We see things as we are. Now, this looking for ways to add value to people, when you become intentional, that's why you have to be intentional. Remember, everything worthwhile is uphill. When you're intentional and you begin to say, okay, I'm going to add value to people, guess what? You're going to see ways to add value to people every day, because you have this intentional already in your mind, I'm going to add value to people. So if you're going to add value to people, you're going to see things that will add value to people. And if you have no idea of adding value to people, you'll see those same people and you'll have those same opportunities, but you'll never see a way to add value to them. This is a powerful byproduct of a disciplined, intentional lifestyle. Every day, I look for ways to add value to people. While I'm with you, I'm just looking and saying, how can I add value to them? Number four, every day, I do things that values people. I do things. At the end of my day, I always close my day the same way. I've done this for, oh my gosh, at least 25 years. Every day I close my day by doing an inventory of what I did that day. And I ask myself one simple question. Who did I add value to today? And how did I add value to them? You see, intentional living is powerful because intentional living turns good intentions into good actions. Good intentions are totally overrated. Good intentions have no value, no value at all, unless they become good actions. Nobody ever built a business on good intentions. Nobody ever made a marriage on good intentions. Good intentions are worthless until they become good actions. And once I adopt this intentional living mindset, I take my intentions and I turn them into actions. One more. Number five, every day I encourage others to add value to people. Every day I encourage other people to add value to people. I'm totally committed to this, and I'm committed to this because I was encouraged in 1978 to add value to people. I was pastoring my second church, and my assistant, Eileen Beavers, gave me a Christmas gift. I opened it up, and much to my joy, it was a book. I love to read books. So that's always a good gift for me. And on the outside of the book, as I looked at the cover, I got real excited because the title was The Greatest Story Ever Told. And I thought, oh my gosh, The Greatest Story Ever Told. I wonder what it is. I wonder who's in it. And I just opened the book with great anticipation, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And when I opened the book, I was greatly surprised because every page was blank. Every page. Except the first page where Eileen Beavers wrote this note, Dear John, your life is before you. You fill these pages with good works, kind acts, matters of your heart. Live your life with intentionality. Make it significant. That day changed my life. I literally took that book and I started filling those pages in. Before I ever wrote and before I ever became an author, the first book I really wrote never was published. It was those blank pages, and I began to put down the things that I wanted to do with my life. You see, that was the day I realized that I could be the author of my life. I could write my life. I didn't need to read it. Let me tell you something. Most people, they don't write their life. They read it. Other people around them, they determine their situation. And so they're reading their life. And if you're reading your life, let me tell you, if you're reading it, it is not the life that God intended for you, because God gave you the gifts and God gave you the opportunity, and he wants you to put the pen in your hand and he wants you to write your life. Eileen Beavers encouraged me to add value to other people. And that's what I'm doing for you today. If you would ask me what my life is going to be for the rest of my life, I would say it very simply. I'm going just to encourage people to add value to other people. That's why I wrote the book, Intentional Living, Choosing a Life That Matters. I've talked with Pastor Kevin, and there's some exciting things for your church during this Christmas season. But I wanted to have a part, possibly, that any way that I could have, and so in your bulletin, you're going to find ways that you can get the Intentional Living book and you can get the 30-day journey at my cost. I want to give it to you as inexpensively as I can give it to you. And those directions and information, that's in the bulletin. But I want every one of you to have not only the Intentional Living book, but I want you to take the 30-day journey. And here's why. The 30-day journey is where every day for 3 minutes on video, I talk about how to live an intentional life. And I give you ideas. And here's what's going to work, and here's what's going to be powerful, because we now have had thousands start this journey with us, and we're getting literally hundreds and hundreds and now thousands of letters from people. And here's what's happening. They take the 3 to 4 minute video and they sit with their children. And they listen to it and watch it, and then they sit down and say, okay, what are we going to do today to intentionally add value to people? I had a grandfather the other day say I was on the second day with my 13-year-old grandson, William, and when it was over, I looked at William and I said, what do you think? And he said, my 13-year-old looked at me and said, Grandpa, I think good intentions aren't good unless they turn into action. He's 13. This is one of the greatest ways to mentor and train and develop your kids in intentional living and adding value to others. And so I close with this. I know of no church in America that's more committed to serving, adding value, living Matthew 25, seeing the big picture, and living intentionally more than 12 Stone. I love Kevin. He's like a son to me. And I love you. It's kind of like when you go to heaven, and if you're from 12 Stone, you're going to want to come home on the weekend. You're going to say, it's just a great place. But Pastor Kevin and I, during this Christmas season, want you to go to a whole new level. We want you to live a life that matters by seeing the big picture and by living intentionally. And I'm excited because for thousands of you, this Christmas season, you'll see growth and development in your spiritual journey unlike any other time in your life. God bless you.